What are we?
You guys are
awesome.
Good evening, everyone. We're getting started. I ask you all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Mr. Callahan, Ms. Francis Smith, Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Blum.
President, thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Callahan, as he had mentioned at a previous meeting, is out of the country traveling, and Councilwoman Cramsey Smith, who sent her regards, as she's out of the area due to a loss in the family. Mayor Reynolds will be joining us a little later on in the meeting this evening. I would just want to announce before we go through the agenda tonight that at the administration's request, agenda item 7B1 involving the HRC appointment will be pulled from said night's agenda so that the 7B1 will not be voted on this evening. Moving on to the approval of the minutes from the September 17, 2024 meeting. Any comments on minutes? Minutes are approved. Moving on to public comment. We're going to start with public comment on any subjects that we're not voting on this evening. We'll remind everyone of our 5-minute time limit. Our first speaker signed up, Mr. Haynes.
Hi, everybody. Bruce Haynes. With the announcement this week of the start of the construction of the Walnut Street Garage, I thought I would come, and I want to be on the record about this, that I believe when all of you voted, when you voted to turn down the Harb recommendation regarding the height of the and dimensions of the Walnut Street Garage and their recommendation to not approve that, that there end up being an unintended consequence. And that unintended consequence, I believe, is that everybody, I think, was under the assumption, including all of us that attended the two hard meetings that went till 1 o'clock in the morning, that they never vetted the exterior, the facade, the paint colors, or any of that in terms of when they were looking at the project, because the issue was the height, and it was so obviously, you know, obviously objectionable that in all the discussion that took place, it was that they had some issues with the facade, the colors, the paint color, how it blends historically in the historic district. But there was no sense spending another 3 or 4 hours on that after, you know, when the real issue was the height. And so when it came to you, the issue was all about the height, really. There wasn't any discussion about the any of the facade stuff. And I think there was an obvious understanding on their part. There was an obvious understanding on our part, that those of us who were involved in that if in fact you overturned the height and the dimensions, it would come back to the Harb to then scrub the exterior of the garage as it's, in terms of its compatibility. That never happened. And I believe that the right thing to do is to do that before they start the construction. I mean, nobody, we're not revisiting the size of the garage, the dimension of the garage, the capacity of the garage. I'm not here to talk about that, and that would not be on their purview. But basically, we're talking about, you know, just doing the right thing for a building that's going to be in the historic district. I know they felt it was coming back. We all felt it was coming back. It never went back. And so I would ask you to give some strong consideration to that, and discuss it, and just say, you know, as city council people, that are having a building built in our great historic district, which just got a World Heritage designation, wouldn't you want that to be done? And then obviously they would make their recommendations on that, and then those recommendations regarding that would come back to you for a final vote as well. So that's what I'm asking for you to revisit it and send it back to the HARB for the architectural details, et cetera, and then come back to you. I'd ask you to really revisit it, and I think it was an unintended consequence. I don't think any of you intended that, but that's what happened. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Our next speaker this evening, Mary Jo McCool.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. I want to address the recent article regarding the Bethel Mary School District and its lack of testing for lead. While I understand the district is a separate entity from the city as far as taxes and such, I wonder if some clarification can be made regarding funding for such testing. The EPA has set a deadline of this month of October for the city to complete a compilation of the extent of lead pipes within the city. I am wondering if that list is finished, or what is the time period for its completion? Pennsylvania water lines are among the oldest in the country, so I believe you can understand my concern. Pennsylvania is set to receive $152 million to help municipalities replace lead pipes. I would like to know how much Bethlehem is set to receive. I realize that I may have to wait until after the meeting to speak to someone, but with budget hearings set to begin, or may have already begun, this is a valid concern to tax-paying residents. I wonder if replacing lead pipes will include those in the schools, or if that burden will fall on the district. At an earlier meeting, a concerned citizen questioned his water quality. Mr. Boscola said the city tests water as it leaves the facility. Does the city conduct any tests at various locations throughout the city after it leaves the plant? Does the city provide any test kits to its residents, or does that expense fall upon the concerned resident? The city periodically flushes hydrants. Is the supply for line for the hydrants the same as those for residences? I hope the city departments compiling their budgets are prudent in their deliberations and as such demonstrate restraint for frivolous or poor spending. Next year is not an election year, so I trust that that will not be an incentive to raise taxes as stated in January when the current budget was adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Our next speaker, Janet. I believe your last name is Barney.
Barry.
Barry. Apologies.
Good evening. My intent tonight was to speak to you about the hypocrisy of Bethlehem being called a Tree City USA, but those remarks will have to wait as something more important is now my priority. Last Thursday, violent crime came to East Hills, a neighborhood in which I was born and raised and where I call home. What was a quiet and normal night changed in a second when a man was shot during a drug deal turned robbery turned homicide. Within a minute or two of shots fired, the neighborhood was awash in red and blue lights, and sirens pierced the silence. I am sure I speak for many of my neighbors when I thank first responders for their swift action. And Chief Cott, it was well within 2 minutes that they showed up. Violent crime is said to be down in the country, but that doesn't mean much when it lands on your doorstep. I am here tonight to make a plea for a return of neighborhood patrols. Growing up, I can remember police officers driving through the neighborhood, and they got to know the children and adults. It wasn't unusual for a police officer to park near our house to catch those who would blow off the stop sign. Knowing police frequent an area is, without a doubt, a deterrent. East Hills today is much different from my youth. Children sit on skateboards and ride down the middle of the street. They don't think of the consequences. The bike brigade rides the width of the roads, challenging drivers, And there are some drivers who treat Shakespeare as an Indy 500 qualifier. Regular patrols will allow for proactive rather than reactive policing. Soon, the newly built apartments will be adding 1,000 plus to our part of Bethlehem. So the onus is on city government to make sure we are safe and that Thursday night was a once-in-a-lifetime event. Thank you.
That exhausts our list of who has signed up in advance, so I'm going to go around the room. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment? Mr. Carousel.
Hi, I'm Artie J. Creed, Curatola of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hope you're all doing well tonight. I changed my mind. I'm going to be running as a write-in for the mayor of our city of Bethlehem. So if you vote for me, if you want a better city and wish to pay less money than was ever spent for a mayor in any city in our United States in over 50 years, vote for me. I will listen to my advice that's given to me from our city council constituents. But I will accept no more pay than an illicit man or woman who places their lives in harm's way for our country, because I believe that being an elected official for any city is a chance to serve not only your community, but your country. Because greater cities equal a greater USA. I firmly and strongly and truly believe that our world is in the state that it's in, with wars, homeless people, crimes of violence in many of our major cities, not only in our U.S., but cities throughout the entire world, is because there are too many people, especially elected officials, who have two fathers. One, their biological father, and two, their incubus father, and maybe even their succubus mother. These individuals who we elect in power come off with their intellect, with Harvard pomposity, and their plastic smiles like they're going to give you the world. But in reality, they only give you the crumbs that fall below the pockets of their own pockets, if anything at all. They will do whatever it takes to gain power and money for themselves and their families. Whatever happens to everyone, everything else in the world, so be it. As for myself, all of the world and all of God's is my family. I have no wives and kids that I know of, but I was raised in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, so anything's possible. But no one has confronted me, as of yet, as being their father. I can safely say that throughout my life, I've made it with a fair percentage of beautiful women. I thank God that I'm very healthy and still alive today, and with all I've been through. Read my book coming out, soon to be on Amazon, called My Life Was Built on Miracles. Google my pseudonym, professional name, J. Creed, and read more about me and hear some of my recorded music of songs that I wrote. Google J. Creed Video World Anthem to hear and see me sing, dance and play guitar on a song that I wrote to gain world peace and harmony. I did the video 3 years ago. Now, I don't look much different than that now, except I don't touch up my beard anymore. The song, World Peace, World Anthem, is with World Peace Records. Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, and was accepted by the United Nations, where I spoke and was interviewed in New York City, October before last, by Nanu Tong and Sandy Wong. Nanu Tong is the lady that puts together all the United Nations gatherings in New York City and LA. Go on my Facebook page, read my treatise for one of my upcoming books that explains why our world is in the state that it's in. It's a true ultimate of all horror movies, if it made it into a movie. The book is called Lilith.
Mr. Carafoli. Anyone else that would like to speak? Mr. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, Howard County Department. First of all, you know, I noticed while sitting over there, seems to be that, you know, we're here to speak about for a 5-minute time limit. And I noticed that certain members of the audience, you know, they criticize and mock, you know, whatever these individuals are saying or doing or the way they act. Then they come up, you know, and they are all sincerity, you know, and they totally, you want them, everybody to believe what they're saying, you know, be more sincere about yourselves before you come up and be mocking somebody else. It's not right. Next of all, I have some concerns about my safety at Holy Family Apartments. I've tried to get some answers, but I got none. Only because there seems to be a non-existing rule when they only can go so far. The concern of mine is that the lady who lives downstairs of 4 different individual apartments, 2 up, 2 down, one of them, and they're both on oxygen on the first floor, one of them smokes and chain smokes. And that's what my concern is, that if that were to blow up the apartment, it would affect everybody in that building and wherever else. That's my concern. It's my safety. It's my health. Because of the way she chain smokes, it travels to my apartment every single day. I hardly get any rest during the course of the night because I'm blowing it out, even though I got the best air purifiers that anyone can buy. Big, strong, very effective, but it's not doing a job that it could do while this lady chain smokes. She manipulates the staff members over there because she's on the first floor. She can see when they are coming. So, and she's been told by other people who come close to her apartment what to do, what to expect when they're coming. So she's on the up and up on everything that happens with the staff members. So when they go in, they just can't go in as they wish. It has to be for a number of reasons because it's subsidized by HUD. And that's the other reason. I am subsidized by HUD. And there was a ruling back in 2018 that stated, as I read on my phone, that there was a smoke ban that was created in all public housing. Is this true? Can you search it out yourselves? Somebody get back to me, particularly maybe Laura can help me out in that area. Maybe your attorney, which I've asked, whom I will speak to later on to make a call. I need to know these things because it's affecting really my health, my situation where I live, where I'm hardly there. I spend my time mostly going out somewhere or at Planet Fitness because I go there every other day, if not every day. So I am truly a community activist concerned about my community and the way I do things. I try to help people out. I'm not a person that is out to scam anybody or to steal from anybody. So I changed my whole life around, but there's devious people that just don't care in this world to make it unpleasant for other people to live in a peaceful neighborhood where I live. It's not peaceful over there at all. And this is for Shadi, the maintenance guy, because I'm asking you to go out and read what I just finished saying because this pertains to me at Holy Family. You are not doing your job sufficiently enough, Shadi, because you have refused to do the work and you told me in my face. Also, the CEO has instructed certain members of the staffing to get rid of him, me, some time ago when I first started living there. And his name is Joe. And that still goes on. They're in constant contact with this individual, and that affects my way of living over there. Like I said, I'm a peaceful individual. I changed my whole life for the better. And I just leave it at that, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. And I failed to mention at the top of the meeting, our department heads are all here, and I invite anyone to stick around who wants to speak with any of them after the meeting, or any members of council individually. I won't speak to HUD regulations, because I don't know that. What falls within the purview of the city versus the tenant's rights with whoever manages the property and things like that. But I would be happy to speak after the meeting if you want to touch base with Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone else that left who wants to make comment? I turn to the Y Center. I start in the back and work my way to the front. Mr. Barron. Stating their name for the record, please.
My name is Frank Barron. I live at 36 West Spruce Street in Bethlehem. I want to raise a concern about the capital improvement plan for 2025 to 2029, specifically the plan as it relates to street improvements. As I understand it from the plan, the Linden Street is to be converted from a two-way street, a one-way street, to a two-way street, and the cost of doing so is approximately $200 million if completed in 2025, and that preliminary engineering and permitting work is expected to be started in late of 2024. Now, both Linden Street and Center Street were made one-way streets when Bethlehem Steel was in business, and those streets served as a way of getting commuters in and out of the steel. Steel has been gone since 1995, I believe. I've been a resident of the city of Bethlehem for about 30 years. And I never had a problem with those one-way streets. The thing that concerns me, though, is less the convenience, is the cost. Linden Street is estimated at more than $2 million. And Center Street hasn't been presented for Center Street. On the other hand, the following page of the plan states that the city is going to spend about $2.5 million in improvements, and it states, in addition, that we're currently insignificantly backlogged with this work. My suggestion would be to skip that transition from one-way to two-way and use that $2 million instead to make street improvements on street overlays and grading, whatever is necessary for the coming year. This 2.5 million, I think, would help considerably in improving the quality of life throughout the city. You know, I don't know how many complaints you get about potholes and other problems with the street, but I think it would be better, that money would be better spent on the road repairs rather than changing a one-way street to a two-way street. I should note that the average life expectancy of a residential street is about 21 years. Well, we're beyond 21 years in most cases. I think it's important that we try to catch up on this work rather than create new problems simply by changing from a one-way street to a two-way street. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bear. And I'll speak on when we're going to review that capital plan, which will be later this month, but I do just want to clarify, I may have misheard the number 200 million quoted. It's 2 million.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
It's okay. I may have misheard,
it would be the first time.
I just want to clarify, it is a $2 million figure as it relates to the street.
I was like, thanks.
I don't know that as small, right?
You don't even explain yourself to me, Mr. Bear. We're going to, and I'll speak more on that a little bit later in the agenda. Again, turning to the Y Center, starting with the back row, moving to the front. Was there anyone else who wanted to speak with council in the middle? Hello.
Harry Faber. So you guys know me. I like to come up here and read quotes and talk about my reading. I actually didn't find this quote myself. My friend sent it to me, and I was really inspired by it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Sophie Scholl. She was 21 when she was executed in 1943 for leading a student resistance against Hitler and the Nazis. She was a part of a group organization called the White Rose. And her final words were, "How can we expect righteousness to prevail when there is hardly anyone willing to give himself up individually to a righteous cause? Such a fine sunny day and I have to go. But how many have to die on the battlefield in these days? How many young, promising lives? What does my death matter if, by our acts, thousands are warned and alerted? Among the student body, there will certainly be a revolt." And the most inspiring part is obviously the beginning, and that I really connected with that, especially since she was 21 and she gave up her life while in college at the University of Munich. And I just was thinking about how the American and Israeli governments condemn the people of Palestine, people of Lebanon, people of Syria, Yemen, Iran, and more to the death for the actions of their governments. But then, what do you think should happen to us for our own complacency in this genocide? Do we too deserve to die for the terroristic actions of our own federal government? Even those like myself who are participating in the BDS movement, protesting, speaking out, can we really say we did enough? It's nearly been a year of the most live-streamed genocide in history. Millions have been displaced, if not murdered. So I just ask, when do you think we'll be tried and sentenced as guilty? And when the war machine comes for us, and as you hold up your limbless babies and loved ones up to your cameras begging for help, I wonder if the world will look away just as our country has looked away from the Palestinians. Israeli apologists will always say, you know, what do you think was going to happen when they attacked Israel? As if they were saying, yeah, obviously Israel is going to butcher tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of civilians if you try to resist it, duh. But the wildest part is that they truly believe this is a good defense for Israelis' criminality. I mean, I've heard this stuff in this very room. Yes, Israel commits horrifying massacres against populations which oppose it whenever it can find an excuse to do so. That's the problem. Going, oh, of course Israel killed thousands of kids, it's Israel, is in support of my position. So what I ask, City Council, as our local representatives, is that you hold up your end of the bargain. Obviously, you can't solve the crisis in the Middle East. I would never ask you that. But I think we need to pressure the county, the state, and the Fed more. And I think you, as our city officials, it's kind of up to you. I mean, I'm trying to fit in the county councils into my schedule. It's tight. You guys know how I work. But to those who think that this isn't affecting us, one, it is. I mean, it's our government. And these are our resources, which instead of being spent on infrastructure, healthcare, education, on the people, are instead being spent on the killing and maiming of people abroad. And I don't know if you guys are as well informed. I mean, Iran just like launched quite a few ballistic missiles at Israel today. I believe Netanyahu fled, which shows how much he cares about his own people. I have panic attacks all the time. I have panic attacks almost every day. I wake up and I see more and more bloodshed, more and more news. So many horrifying videos. There's this guy, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he posted a video of showing three children under rubble, and they were trapped under rubble for roughly 15 hours before they suffocated. And just thinking that could have been me when I was born, could have been any of us, but lucky enough, luck of the draw, I was born here, and we're not experiencing that. But that doesn't matter. It's people. And someone who's not here, like to quote Martin Luther King, like most white liberals do, but injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. This is a grave injustice that is being spent at the expense of our own resources, and I think we need to do more in, one, condemning these atrocities and showing our solidarity with people experiencing this genocide. That's what it is. Thank you.
In the back left.
Hello, my name is Juliet Rose. I have been serving Bethlehem like coffee for like 10 years, and I'm just really disgruntled right now, and it was perfect timing that you guys were having city council. I just got out of work and wanted to get a burrito, and I paid $1 to park for 15 minutes and still ended up getting a ticket from the BPA because I took 2 minutes to pay for another 15 minutes for $1 to wait for my burrito. And now I have to deal with this headache for $15. I feel like I'm getting bullied by the BPA, and I'm just like really disgruntled and hungry because my burrito is in my car, because I want to tell you guys that I really don't like the BPA. It's really frustrating to be a working class person who has to pay to park, to just do her job, and I feel like I'm getting bullied. And everyone at the, it's National Taco Day or something, and they were very busy. So I had to pay $2 to park for half an hour to wait for a burrito. I really wish I could have given them that $2. For tip, I did give them a tip, and I wish I could have given them $4 for a tip. So I have to do this now. My time is valuable. Of course we bully Palestinians because we bully the working class in America. Thank you, and I hope you guys have a good day.
Thank you. I don't want to keep you from your dinner that's waiting for you, but if you wanted to follow up through the website, so the Bethel Park Authority does have their own board that has board meetings, and I encourage you to look at when that is, which is on the city website, or we could forward any information you wanted to the executive director for the Park Authority.
I appreciate it. I see that, but that's, yeah, it's just valuable time that working class people just don't have.
I understand.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chapman.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue, a bunch of things, but let me start off by saying that the military aid to Israel should have been suspended some time ago. The answer to the killing of innocent people is not to kill more innocent people. And about Center Street and Linden Street, Center Street in particular divides neighborhoods, and in the past I've said that struck me as a training ground for NASCAR as they try to get into jockey for position in the right lane so that they can be first in line to go north from Elizabeth Avenue. On the agenda, I'm pleased to see that new business is now explicit where it has been. Implicit. This is good. This is good when the agenda shows what actually is going to happen. I still have a suggestion to move approval of the minutes until after public comment, So in case we disagree with something that's in the minutes, we have a chance to say it in time. And I noticed that even that single copy of the minutes is no longer outside at 6:30. And so I couldn't even check the minutes and what it says about what I said at the last meeting. So I have to remember to print them out at the library or look at them at the library beforehand. Another item here, I got a solicitation from a group called American Rivers. They have a headquarters in D.C. around 14th and K. And they list the top 10 most endangered rivers in the United States. And would you believe number 7 is the Lehigh River? They say the threat is harmful development. I want to get in touch with them and find out exactly what they mean. And to close, I have both a rant and a rave. The rave is first, it's very short. The rave is Gina in the office of Mike Alcohol. I talked to her today about leaf pickups, actually. And she's on the ball. She knows, she's on top of things. She's thoughtful, she's specific. She's friendly, courteous, kind. I won't do the Boy Scout pledge. I think we should call out from time to time people in the City Hall who are doing an exceptional job. Finally, the rant. This is rant number 5 in my 20 years here, about little things. And rants 1 through 4 still have not been corrected, but I'll save those for another time. If you call the city's phone number, which by the way is a helpful thing when you're not sure which department number you want, and you can call them and you get referred. And just to be sure that you know what I'm talking about here, the number is 610-865-7000. So that's how I got to Gina, actually. If you call this number, it's possible to find out what the hours are of City Hall, which I did. And City Hall, I was told, is open to 4:30. This is not true. There may be stuff happening inside of City Hall until 4:30, hopefully. But it is not open to the public until 4:30. The doors are locked at 4:15. Now this goes back some months. And the purpose, I imagine, is to, I've got to accelerate. It misleads people. If somebody says, I can get there by 4:20 and pay my water bill and get that done. No, if they come at 4:20, the door will be locked. They have wasted a trip, which shows disrespect for the citizens, taxpaying citizens of the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the White Center?
Terry Kloiber, Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem. This may seem like trivial to some people, but to me, being a 126-pound dog owner, I think it's very important. We mandate that children must be in car seats or seatbelted in. You must have your seatbelt on, click it or ticket. Will there ever be a law to make sure that these animals in cars are seatbelted or hooked in somehow? I did have to stop suddenly this morning on my way up the street. I was only on my street, so I wasn't going fast. But I caught Coda off guard, and he ended up on the floor with his back end because he was harnessed and he could only go so far. But I see people driving, they got their dog hooked in their arm, hanging out the window. They stop fast, that's a projectile out. I have 126 pounds in the back seat. If he's not hooked and I stop fast, that's 126 pounds going past me into the windshield. Are there any mandates? Are there going to ever be a seatbelt law or restraint law of any kind for animals in the car instead of them just hanging out the windows all the time. Somebody yesterday passed me in a truck with some big dog, I don't know what it was, sitting in the front seat. They had a collar, I could not see any harness. Even if that collar was hooked, they're choking or breaking the dog's neck. But if they would stop fast, that dog's going out the window because he's halfway out already. So I think that's something that somewhere down the line needs to be checked into. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cleaver. Is there anyone else in the wide center who wants to make comment? Turn to the right. Turn to the right. Thank you. That concludes our first public comment. We didn't have anyone sign up for second public comment, which is anything that we're voting on this evening. So let's get left. Anyone who wants to comment on anything that's being voted on tonight's agenda? To the center.
Item 10D is forwards the recommendation from the Historic Conservation Commission to approve the demolition of the single-family residence at 330 East 4th Street. I went by there this afternoon, and the exterior of the building is not terribly exciting, but I understand the building. I didn't make the meeting, so but there were some background documents that showed some terrible mold in one of the three buildings that were requested demolition for. So I can understand why the commission voted unanimously to allow the demolition of this building. But it raises a broader subject, and here I'm going to propose a new activity for the city, which would involve code enforcement. And my understanding is code enforcement is deficient as it exists right now. But like Vince Lombardi once said, you aim for perfection and you won't achieve it, but in the process you'll hopefully achieve excellence. And the subject I want to raise, the phrase is in the planning profession, I don't know if it's a term of art or not, but the phrase is demolition by neglect. And an example that I know a few specifics about is one of the other three demolitions on the agenda of the HCC at their last meeting, and that's the former residence of the chief gardener of the Eugene Grace Estate, which is now Holy Family Manor. They came before the HCC, I would say about 10 years ago, seeking the demolition, and did not make it. So now it's 10 years later, the building is still vacant, it's in deteriorated condition, and it makes it easier as time goes by to get it demolished, because the people who have to approve these things say, well, it's hopeless now. So one by one, if the developers are willing to wait, and some of them are very patient, we can lose buildings that contribute, you know, they're not important enough to get on the National Register of Historic Places. And they may not be in a historic district, but they nonetheless contribute to the historic character of the city. And we do pride ourselves, and we sell it actually in our marketing, about the historic character of the city of Bethlehem. But through demolition by neglect, we allow these buildings to disappear one by one, particularly on the south side. But there's another example there on the Broad Street Bridge. And there's other examples in the city as well. So what can we do to prevent this if we truly do feel that saving these buildings that are not unique, but do contribute to the historic atmosphere of the city, which in my mind makes it more pleasant to live in instead of nondescript modern stuff. Well, the obvious solution is if a building is vacant, you have to keep it maintained. Now, this would require more code enforcement, and as I said, we're deficient right now apparently in that respect. But it's something to think about for the future. Another possibility is, and this would be perhaps more draconian, your real estate tax doubles if the building, a building is vacant for more than a certain period of time. This would give owners an incentive to use, not only maintain the buildings, but put them to use. And we're right now, we're talking about the lack of affordable housing. So that could help with that problem as well. So time to think big. We need more bigger thoughts in this city, I feel. And, well, as I've said, if we really do care about the historic atmosphere in the city, even about what's left on the south side, let's do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schaffer. Is there anyone else in the Live Center who wants to comment on anything we're voting on this evening? To the right, anyone who wants to comment on anything that council is voting on? That concludes our second public comment. Thank you. Any old business from members of council?
Yes, as promised, I wanted to follow up on some of the comments that were made at our last meeting regarding parking. As the liaison to the parking authority, I did speak to the individual who made those comments, as well as the director of the parking authority. So just as it turns out, that the issues were primarily related to information and education, and what was expressed here was sort of a difficulty in finding information, whether it be signage or information on the website or the brochure. So I just wanted to take a moment to sort of clarify some of the places that you can go to find. This is not related to the comments that were made tonight. I have empathy for that person's lived experience and ran out, as you saw, to address that with her. This is again related to last meeting. So one place you can go for a lot of information about parking in Bethlehem is the website called, it's bethpark.org, and it's in fact quite easy to navigate. Along the right hand side is a sidebar where you can just click easily on street parking, garage permits, etc. There are color-coded maps, downloadable PDFs of information for you. But also, as you know, things change, and we are very much in the midst of a parking change. The landscape is changing in Bethlehem. They in fact do have a very robust social media stream on Instagram. It's at the Bethlehem Parking Authority, where they are constantly sharing very upbeat and informative informational posts and videos about the parking changes, which I acknowledge are quite overwhelming. I understand that. But also, with regard to the fact that we are sort of mid-process here, there is more to come. There's more signage coming. There will be signs in garages, for example, pointing you to where the local business downtown districts are, as well as better signage around our kiosks. And a commitment to creating more accessible parking for people with disabilities. These are just a couple of things that are to come. So just know that we're in the middle of it, so it's not perfected just yet. And lastly, just with regard to that transition, we are in the middle of sort of changing our own behavior and habits around parking, and so we have these new tiered zones, which are, you know, nobody wants to pay more for parking, but that sort of data-driven approach that we pay a little more to park closer. But garages, in fact, and our speaker at the last meeting did comment on the great assets that we have in our parking garages, the new garages on the south side. And in fact, I was surprised to learn that the New Street Garage is 200 feet from the Godfrey Daniels block, which was the block that individual was speaking about. So it's just sort of getting it into our minds that the garages aren't quite as far away as we think, and in fact, they're the least expensive, longest-term parking you can have at large. Just also wanted to say, please feel free to reach out, as she did, and as hopefully our earlier commenter will, to me or to the director of the Parking Authority, if you have questions as you sort of literally and figuratively navigate your way through the new changes in Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Any other old business from members of Council? Any new business from members of Council?
I did have a question for the Chief of Police, if she could address some of the the one comment that was brought up today. It's, I mean,
I think we've all
kind of watched the news play out, but if you can just give us what we can know about what happened at the East Hills area.
So it's a tragic event that occurred. It was a drug deal gone bad, a drug deal that turned into a robbery, that turned into a homicide out in the area of Governor Wolf. So it actually happened on the roadway, I believe it's the 1900 block of Woodstown Road. Officers responded quickly due to the amazing work of our officers and our detectives. We were able to take into custody the 17-year-old suspect within a matter of 24 hours.
17, yeah. All right. Thank. I just wanted some clarification on that. Thank you.
Any other new business from our council? Thank you, Chief. Councilwoman Laird.
I don't think anybody from the BPA is here tonight, right? Okay. I just wanted to recognize the comments that Mr. Haynes made about the Walnut Street garage. I am not sure what the process is for sending things officially back to HARP, but I do recall, I checked my notes while we were sitting here, on my remarks that night, and certainly I did ask for further discussion of the facade, even if in an informal manner. So I do intend to follow up and see, you know, what has been talked about, what could still be talked about, because I believe we had discussed everything from the front facade to even ideas for the back south-facing wall. So I will be following up on that. Just wanted to let you know.
I'll just briefly interject as it relates to the comments. Councilwoman Blair referenced even in an informal manner, and our solicitor Stewart here and I have touched base on it, and we'll talk more following this meeting. But I don't, so HARB and the HCC, those powers, that process is given by ordinance to council. And I don't believe, I'm going by memory, when Attorney Stewart and I visited it months ago, and we can revisit it, you know, prior to the next meeting to follow up, but I don't believe there's a mechanism in the ordinance, objectively speaking. Now, in this case, the applicant is, of course, an authority of the city, but every applicant has rights, as we talk about the certificates of appropriateness, and I don't believe, and if I'm wrong, I'll correct myself at the next meeting, but that there's anything that once a certificate of appropriateness is granted and then Community Economic Development moves forward with their approval process in terms of issuing permits, I don't believe council has the power given by the ordinance for any applicant, regardless of the project, to then say, okay, now this needs to come back. I still believe that's a power that's given to us by the ordinance. So again, I can, it will require a little more investigating between now and the next meeting, but that will be done.
I've reviewed the ordinance and you are correct.
My memory's better than I assume sometimes. Thank you, Attorney Stewart.
Can I ask a follow-up question to that?
Go ahead.
If it's not given by ordinance, if we do change the ordinance, not that I'm saying that that's what we should do, but if we do change the ordinance, would it apply to this project or would it apply to all projects going forward and not this project?
The ordinance is based on state statute.
Never mind.
And even if we did change the order, there's just a practical management to that, but what would a look-back period even look like to do that? But to Attorney Stewart's point, some of that, and I'm not the lawyer up here, is based on state statute and other guidelines. Councilman Blair?
Just to clarify, then, in terms of informal conversation or, you know, like if they decide, oh, we're going to change this paint color, we are allowed to have those conversations. There's just not a mechanism to formally send something back for HARB approval, correct?
I'm going to say correct. Attorney Stewart looks like she wants to give a follow-up comment, but just briefly to, for my comments, I mean, I think that could be said for anything, right? Like, there's, we have informal conversations with applicants or individuals who do business with the city on a lot of things. So from a my perspective on that, I don't know, you know, in terms of, again, the rights of the applicant, there's a big difference between something like a formal committee meeting versus a conversation to be had with the applicant or whomever it would be. Attorney Stewart?
The other thing I would say is that typically when you have an application that is approved, it is, the approval is only within the scope of the application. So that if something were, if a plan were to change, that could prompt yet another application.
Any other business from members of council? Councilman Quintet?
Yes, I just wanted to, Mr. Buscola, follow up on a question that a resident had tonight about the lead pipes, and I know that we've had, perhaps Mr. Buscola is not the right person, but I thought we're working on replacing lead lines that we have got funding, and if you could just give us maybe a little summary of the progress, I think, off the top of your head.
The city had previously been awarded a $2.8 million grant from PennVest a couple of years ago to replace lead lines. That project has since been completed. We removed about 400. Depending on the regulatory regime you look at, whether it's EPA, DEP, PUC, the goal is to get all the lead out of the system anywhere from the next 10 years to the next 30 years, depending on the regulatory agency you're dealing with. So that gives us enough time to both inventory, look for, and then remove all of those lead services. Most utilities, including Bethlehem, do not have an accurate inventory of our service lines. Because all these lead services were installed 100 years ago, we do not have accurate records. So, unfortunately, it's not the only way, but one way that we're going to have to approach this is to actually do some physical excavation to find, you know, where the lead occurs, and then replace those lines accordingly. That's why the regulators have given us many, many years to make this happen. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be at least a decade until we tackle this problem.
And that funding is done, but there will be funding opportunities to accomplish it, or?
Yes, yes, there will be additional future opportunities for funding as part of the infrastructure bill that the federal government passed a couple of years ago. That month, there was more money allocated to PennVest to dole out as either loan or grant to municipalities, utilities to remediate those lead services. So that will continue to flow, but we have to apply for that, so we're going to be doing that next year.
And then finally, with regard to the school buildings in particular, in terms of doing excavation and exploration and things like that, that would just be in the context of neighborhoods in general. You found
school?
In a neighborhood that where a school was based, you might go look further, or?
Schools are a different topic. The regulations put the onus on the schools to remediate lead in the schools, including their service lines and lead plumbing fixtures in the school buildings. So that's where, if you recall that press conference that was held maybe a week or two ago by some representatives, because they were targeting the school districts because they understand that the current regulations put the onus on the school districts to take care of their lead plumbing, if you will.
Got it. So then they would maybe be pursuing the funding?
Correct. Independently of the city.
Got it. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Roscola. Councilman Laird.
Sorry. I I did mean to ask also, does the Health Bureau have any testing kits available for people who might be wondering about their home's water or paint or anything?
Yes, through the lead method.
Ms. Collins, do you mind just briefly coming to the microphone just so it's captured in the recording?
She's closer.
Whomever. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Benay Berger, the Director of Nursing at the Bethlehem Health Bureau and the Community Connections Program. So we do have several programs. So there's the Lead in Healthy Homes, where if we find lead in the homes, homes are inspected. If we find lead in the home by our lead inspectors, there's a lead abatement program that is free for both the owner of the home or the landlord who owns the home that the tenants rent. There's also another healthy home component to that, but that's specifically targeted at the lead. We also have just started, we have our new mobile van, so we are going into the community and going to start doing voluntary capillary lead testing. So that's just voluntarily, if there's criteria that must be met for the kids and the families to get tested for lead, all kids should be tested for lead. We're hoping that the pediatricians are doing that. But if they're not, or if there's kids who aren't connected to pediatricians or haven't been tested, we can do a capillary lead test through our lead program if that were to come back high. And we would send the kids for a venous blood draw, so a more significant blood draw, to test the lead and start the process of care with their pediatrician. So we are getting rolling with that, with the capillary lead testing. I don't know that we're going to have a lot of eager families volunteering their young ones to have their fingers pricked, but we're hoping to do so with our Better Blocks programs and on our mobile van. So there are some pretty robust lead abatement programs available to families who qualify.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. And the only brief follow-up I would have to that is all that information is on the city website. I haven't visited recently, so I don't want to assume either if it is or if it's being worked on.
That's a good question. Our catheter lead testing I just literally finished up writing the protocols and getting everything organized with that. But we'll roll that out when we do some campaign in social media. Our Lead in Healthy Homes is a pretty well-established program, so that's going to be in various places, probably under the Bethlehem Health Bureau and then the city's, because there'll definitely be information. That's a longer standing program that we've had on the Lead in Healthy Homes, the Lead Abatements.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other new business for members of council? Thank you, everybody. We'll move on to communications. Mr. Miller, 6A.
September 25th, 2024, memorandum from City Solicitor John Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest, and the activity is the 2024 ice rink at Steel Stacks. The agreement specifies event times and the duration use from November 22nd, 2024 through January 1st, 2025. Premises is First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
And Resolution 10A will be voted on tonight. 6B.
September 25th, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins seeks authorization to apply for up to $7 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Pathways to Removing Obstacles to Housing Grant Program. Funding received would assist with the implementation of the Opening Doors Initiative.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda this evening also. 6C.
The September 17, 2024 memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with the attached 2025 through 2029 Capital Improvement Program. At its September 12, 2024 meeting, the City Planning Commission unanimously voted to recommend approval of the capital plan.
And a committee of the whole meeting has been scheduled for 6 p.m. on October 15, 2024 here in Town Hall to review the capital improvements plan, the five-year capital improvements plan for 2025 through 2029 will be reviewed. And this is a preliminary review as we get into the budget process. 6B.
The September 25th, 2024 memorandum with a proposed resolution from City Solicitor John Spurk Jr. requesting the destruction of records from his department. Solicitor Spurk has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
Thank you. That resolution will be placed on the October 15th City Council agenda. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mr. Evans?
No reports.
Moving along, for our Finance Committee, Councilwoman Piatek.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met earlier tonight on Tuesday, October 1st, 2024 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. 11 budget adjustments were on the agenda. The committee reviewed these adjustments and recommended that they be placed on Council's agenda this evening. Hillary Piatek, Member of Finance Committee.
Thank you. We don't have any ordinance this evening for final passage, so moving on to the mentioned new ordinances. Mr. Miller, Bill 33, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 33, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? I'll call the roll.
Ms. Piatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 34, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 34, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Piatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 35, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 35, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion?
Yes. So tonight I learned that this particular item involves passing this $500,000 to the Alley House project, which is a project at Lehigh University, and which is my employer, and so I'll be recusing myself on this matter. There is another one further down the list where the money is actually flowing the opposite direction, and it's my understanding from a discussion with our solicitor that that one is not, that's not a conflict, and so I won't be recusing myself on that.
Understood. Thank you, Councilwoman.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, I will, I'm also an employee of Lehigh University and will be recusing myself for this vote.
Thank you also. I have a quick question for our solicitor. Are we good with the majority of, we have a quorum, of course. If it's voted on in the affirmative by the members who are voting, given that's a new ordinance, we're good for the first reading.
To do so, yes.
Understood. So to the two council members who previously stated they were going to recuse themselves, given that we have, so pretty much what we were getting at is we only have five members of council present. We have two members of council recusing themselves, so there would only be three members of council voting, and we need a majority of full council to pass a new ordinance.
You need four votes.
We need four votes.
No matter how many are here, you need. Yeah, so well, if you can't do business without the recused members, then they're allowed to vote. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do business.
Thank you to Attorney Stewart and Attorney Spur, so to our members who already disclosed the conflict. Are you satisfied with the recommendation of our council solicitor and Mr. Spur's words also? I'd say as council president.
Yes. I did fill out the form, so I don't know if that would be withdrawn or just in order to state the conflict.
simply don't report it.
Thank you. So I'm glad we sorted that out. Is there any other discussion for members of council? Then I will ask Mr. Miller to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelms?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 36, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 36, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leung and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion on 9D. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 37, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 37, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion.
I just wanted to point out these are things that we heard about tonight in the finance committee meeting. So I just wanted to point this one out in particular. This grant will allow our health bureau to train multiple police departments, all the police departments in Northampton County, not just Bethlehem's, and also supply equipment to use for folks who have Alzheimer's or autistic people who might be prone to wandering. There's a program where they can wear ARC bracelets, and then the police departments can locate them if they go missing. And so I just think this is a great program, and knowing that all of the police departments in the county will be trained means that if someone wanders and they cross a jurisdictional line, that's not going to be an issue.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. That's 5-0. Bill 38, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 38, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leona and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion on Bill 38.
So, yeah, a little more enlightenment on this one. These funds will go towards a consultant to do work on our zoning ordinance and a lot of community engagement around that. So these are first votes on these new ordinances, but I just wanted to kind of clarify what that's for.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 39, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 39, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leung and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion.
Quick one on this. If you want, if anybody else has, they can go first, that's fine.
No, the floor is yours, Councilor.
To say that this and also 9I are incredible grant funds that are coming to help support the big improvement to Friendship Park, and it's very exciting. It's like 2/3 of the total budget just in these two grants, and so thanks to the Lara's Foundation and the other Outdoor Recreation Legacy.
Thank you. Ms. Laird?
Yes, these are amazing opportunities to receive this funding, and I was just wondering if Councilwoman Kwiatek, you could explain just the difference between the two things that were, like, are there different designations for what the funds are for or things like that?
I think you could ask Ms. Collins that. She'd probably have a better answer.
I would defer the question to Ms. Collins.
Why are they in two?
Yeah, just curious, like, specifically, like, is it designated for different parts of the project, or?
No.
No, just generally for the park. Okay, thank you. You don't have to.
Let the record show she responded no. Any other discussion from members of council. Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 5-0. Bill 40-2024.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 40-2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. Ms. Leone?
We did discuss this earlier at the Finance Committee, but I did want to highlight that these grants also allow for not only improvement in the business district, but allows for increased accessibility with the curb cutouts. Those are extremely expensive to do, especially if it falls on the business owner. So being able to get these grants really helps out like our small business community and accessibility in general.
And just to be specific, this will cover 4th Street from New to Broadway.
Any other discussion from members of council?
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 41-2024.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 41-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. And the final new ordinance, Bill 42-2024.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 42-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to two resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for the 2024 ice rink at Steel Stacks. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for up to $7 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Pathways to Removing Obstacles to Housing grant program to assist with the implementation of the city's Opening Doors Initiative. Be it further resolved that the appropriate city officials shall be authorized to execute all necessary documents and agreements. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the remaining funds from the Southside Parks and Playgrounds account are being transferred to 2020 Housing Rehabilitation Grants Loans account. Transaction will not amend the Total Community Development Block Grant Fund. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Our last resolution, 10D.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 330 East 4th Street to demolish the existing single-family dwelling to construct a 3.5-story mixed-use structure with commercial space on the first floor and 4 2-bedroom dwelling units above at 330 East 4th Street. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion on the COA.
I have a quick comment about it. While I always hate to see demolition within the Southside Historic District because so much has already been demoed, this place obviously is in need of demolition. And to our community members' comments earlier, demolition by neglect, not this applicant, they didn't own the property forever, but demolition by neglect is an interesting thing that if you're ever up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you should really look into how demolition by neglect has been used to economically depress areas. That's it.
Thank you, Councilwoman.
I had a question about that topic that was brought up earlier. I believe it would be for Ms. Collins. So what are the guidelines for unoccupied structures? They don't need to have certificates of occupancy, of course, if no one's occupying it. But what safeguards do we have in place to not lose things by demolition, not by neglect?
I would say that our biggest tool really is at the point at which something is blighted, right? And we have a pretty robust blighted property process when a property gets to that point that we can work through the redevelopment authority and the planning commission to blight something and go from there. But in terms of just enforcement of vacant properties generally, we often receive calls for like the exterior of a property, like high grass and weeds and things like that quality of life, but you are correct that they're not required, to my knowledge, to have a certificate of occupancy if they're not being occupied in terms of the structure itself.
So it would really just be an external enforcement that would be possible?
I think so. Mr. Sparkman's?
Yeah. Code violations, broken windows, broken steps going up, high grass, those kind of things.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
I wanted to echo my own sentiments and also say this is going to be converted into more housing, which we all need more units, more housing. That's for the good. To say that I have called about an unoccupied residence in my general neighborhood a while back, and there was trash, broken windows, an unlocked gate. Clearly people were possibly living there, if not just partying there, things like that. The code enforcement came and they said, they gave the warning letter and the place was cleaned up and all of that. Of course, it's a continuous thing. If it is unoccupied, it's kind of seems like it's not ending. I guess my question is maybe one for the solicitors, which is it possible, are we allowed to have a requirement for internal inspection of unoccupied buildings? Could that be something that we add to our ordinance? Or is that something that, again, it's like state statute and we're not allowed to mess with it? Is that like an NBC?
I'll start with Attorney Stewart if you want to answer that.
Okay, that's an interesting proposal. Generally, as Ms. Collins said, you are regulating pursuant to codes and ordinances. Could you put an ordinance in place to inspect properties without? Is the cause then because they're vacant? Is that what you're specifically looking for, that you couldn't inspect?
Right, in the same way that we are able to put in place an inspection regime for regulated rental properties where they have to be regulated, they have to be inspected now every 3 years, is it? Regardless of whether the unit turns over, can we require every 5 years or something like that? I mean, is it within our power to do something like that?
The residential rental ordinance is kind of unto itself because you have I don't want to call it a transience issue, but you have people coming in and out, and owners making profit off of their properties. The thing that strikes me, and I'm happy for anyone else to have the other lawyers in the room to jump in, is that, you know, as a threshold issue, how do you know that a property is vacant? So that's, I think, an initial hurdle. How do you define a vacant property? Again, generally, you're inspecting because a property is not in accordance with applicable codes and ordinances.
As the question was posed to the solicitors, I'll brought into the attorneys, Ms. Collins included. If you want to further Attorney Stewart's comments, though. I thought that Attorney Stewart's comment initially about, you mean just because it's vacant, was instructive in a sense that, like, I wonder what would be the mischief you were trying to remedy by such a law? Mm-hmm. I guess if I bought a property when my kids were 10 and just left it there and trimmed the weeds and painted the exterior and kept it up, but I never had anybody live in it, what would be the mischief remedied by having an inspection requirement? Mm-hmm. The only thought I had triggered by your comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was just the thoughts I was having as we were going about this, and I appreciate the lawyers weighing in.
It's an interesting question. So thank you for the opportunity to ponder it.
Any other discussion as it relates to Resolution 10D? Mr. Miller, we'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safely, everyone. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes.